Okay, well, it's nice to see you. It's nice to see some familiar faces. I was mentioning earlier that I've never actually been in the building. I attended Penrallt down on the hill many moons ago, back when Patrick was your pastor. Some of you may not remember that, but there we are. I'm old, so bear with me. It happens with old age. You start reminiscing, you know. But it's good to be here. I should just tell you a little bit about myself. I attend Cersalem in Caernarfon. The most important point relating to that is that I very rarely do anything in English. Okay? So you need to bear with. I do some translation. So I often translate sermons into English, but I don't have to think of the words myself, you know, I just translate. So I know I've spoken to several Welsh speakers here this morning, so if at any time I raise my left hand, it will mean that I've forgotten the English word, and I'll want some help, some assistance with that. But it's good to be here. As I say, I've never been in the building. Familiar with the area. I used to come a courting not far from here, because my wife was a student nurse in Ysbyty Gwynedd many moons ago, and I used to, well, St David's isn't there now, is it? You know, where the old St David's Hospital was, I used to come a courting to Bangor, chasing my wife, and I pinned her down. I pinned her down, and 35 years later, we're still around. Anyway, as I say, it's good to be here. I don't tend to go out preaching a lot. There are a number of us who teach a lot at Cersalem, so I don't get out much. But Owen contacted me, and he explained, you know, that Freddie was leaving, and Owen and Nia and I and Laurie and me, we've been friends for donkey's years, and I couldn't turn him down. And then he said, "Oh, and by the way, I'm away." So there we are, eh? So I know him well enough. There we are. Right. The other thing that I was going to mention is we tried to do some IT at the start with Andrew. There are some typos in the slides, okay? But we couldn't change them. But
identifying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so if you can spot the typo, raise your right hand, okay? Just to make sure you're all awake. But as you can see, I wanted to turn to Ephesians 4. To read a little of God's word. And it was great that the worship was emphasizing at the end that we're coming here underneath the authority of the Lord. You are Lord in this place, we just sang, didn't we? You are Lord in this place, and we read his word. So let's listen to what the Lord is saying. "I therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now then, It works. Excellent. I'll just give you some background to begin with. As a church, we've been through some changes over the past few years. I was thinking, I realise this is the first Sunday since Freddie left. And when somebody leaves, it's always very, very challenging. We were in a similar but different position in Cersalem a number of years ago. We'd been under a wonderful ministry with John Trahan for almost 25 years. And then we were devastated when he said he was going. And then we realized that the work of the church didn't depend on John. It depended on him. It depended on the Lord. And God has been very, very kind to us. He's been very generous. And we've had a time of blessing since then, since recent Mena came to us, and it's been wonderful. And one of the things we've been looking at over this year is we've been spending some time thinking about what it means to be the church. And sometimes when something happens, you know, someone moves on and there's a pause and there's a time to reflect, then it's good maybe for all of us to do that every now and again. So what we're doing this year is we're following three themes throughout the year. We've spent some time looking as the church as a family and the church as a community. At the moment, we're spending some time looking about the church in terms of the church extending outwards, reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ, reaching out with God's love. So we're spending some time at the moment looking on that. And then after, between, say, May and the summer, we'll be looking at deepening our relationship and experiencing more of the work of the Holy Spirit in the work of the church. So they're the themes that we've been looking at. And I just wanted to go back a little to something that we've been looking at together and to look at the work of the church as a family, the church as a community. And over the months when we looked at that, we saw a number of things from God's word about the church that I hope will be of assistance to you as you reflect on what comes next and, you know, who you are to call and so on. And remember, all of these things are true about the church, whether you have a pastor or not. Okay? Remember that. They're true about the church. They're true about you as a body of believers, whether or not there is a pastor here. We are those who have come to believe. We meet together. We see God at work in our midst. And we share practically and we worship God together. That's true about us. It's true about us this morning. A church, the church of God should be a community where we experience love and friendship, where we serve one another, where we honour one another. We give to support the work of the church. I liked a little offering prayer. In addition to being the church secretary, I tend to look after the finances, so the offering is always very important to me. And it was, might use that, so I'll look for a copy of that prayer, because it's part of the worship. It's part of us acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. It's part of us looking at what he has done for us and responding and saying, Lord, I'm going to give you all sorts of things. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my gifts. I'm going to give you my money. Because we need these things. We need to worship more as a community. And it was lovely that Matt and the team led us so appropriately to the throne of grace and under the Lordship of Christ. We had a visiting preacher, Rob Jones. Some of you may know Rob. He works for New Wine Wales. And he challenged us that as a church, and this is a challenge to you, that we need to preach the gospel. We need to be confident enough to tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be shy about it. It is the power of God to save people. We need to preach the gospel. We need to love one another. Jesus himself said, that's how people will know that you belong to me, if you love one another. We need to pray consistently. We need to be people of prayer. And we also need to be showing that love for our community by serving the community. And we need to be confident and hopeful in God's ability to work through us. And that's a challenging one sometimes, because we're very, very aware of our own deficiencies. We're very, very aware when we stumble. But we have a God who can use even people like us. Ordinary people who make mistakes. People who stumble, people who constantly get things wrong. But he can use us. So they're just some things that, to share very, very briefly, some things that we've learnt over the past few months as a church. But I want to concentrate on one particular aspect, and that's unity in the church family. We're quite a mixed bag in Kersalem. You know, we've got a lot of people who have had different sort of experiences there, and I'll touch on that. But it was very, very clear from that reading from Ephesians that we are called to be one. He's eager. We need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. However different we are, we need to be one. And it's not that it's some sort of test to be passed. When the Lord challenges us, he does that not so that, you know, oh, we can do that so he will bless us. It doesn't work like that. That's not how it works at all. It's not a test to be passed. We come into a relationship by grace. But having come into that relationship, we learn and grow. And we learn and grow as he challenges us. And he tells us, I've given you this, now let's move on. I want to do this with you. I want you to learn about this or that. And he wants us to be one. John 17:21 reads, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now, many, many years ago, as you can see, I'm a bit grey. Many, many years ago, I was in college in Cardiff, and I preached for the first time when I was in college. And the advice I was given was, when you preach, you need to do three things. Okay? And there's a fourth that's optional. Okay? One, you need to tell them what you're going to say. Two, you need to say it. Three, you need to remind them what you've just said. Okay? The fourth one that's optional is, if you can get the points to start with the same letter, that's even better because it's easier to remember. So this is my pattern. So I'm now going to tell you what I'm going to say, then I will say it, and then I'll remind you what I said. So hopefully we'll remember that at the end. So in good, solid Baptist tradition, there will be 3 points. Okay? The first point is we're going to concentrate on the truth. The truth in God's word. The truth that we are one body. The truth in God's word that we are one body. Then we'll look at the reality of day-to-day life about things that can divide us. And then, finally, we'll look at the advice, guidance, and support that the Lord provides for us. So it's the truth, the reality of life and our differences, and then God's advice, guidance, and support. And in passing, I just want to make this point. Unity doesn't mean that we're all the same. It can't mean that we're all the same. I'm looking at out at you, and you all look very different to me on the outside. I'm sure you're very different on the inside too. Unity is not uniformity. God is the Lord of diversity, and he blesses us through that diversity, and he brings us together so that we can learn things about each other and learn things about what it means to be his people because we're different. He does that to us. He's generous enough to do that to us. And unity isn't something to be forced. It's something that's, well, I use the word natural, but it's supernatural. Because it's his work that does that. And I'll revisit that point in a bit later on. So let's start by looking at the truth. Let's start with God's word. And we're not looking at the truth based on our experience. There's always a tendency that we read God's word and we look at our lives and we bring the truth of God's word down to our experience. And we say, well, I can only understand this and I've only experienced that. So that can't be right. But that's not what we do when we come under the authority of God's word. We start with his word. We look at our experience. We see that maybe our experience is different. And then we need to raise our experience up to the truth of the word of God. I urge you, Paul said, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He's called us to something fantastic. It sounds a bit crazy sometimes, doesn't it? When you think of the things that God has called us to do, when I think of the things that God has called me to, and then I look at my life and I say, you must be joking. You cannot be serious. That was a Victor Meldrew. Yeah? You cannot be serious. You know, but he is. He's very, very serious. He urges us. He urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. God's truth leads us to something. In the letter to the Ephesians, he's gone through a series of lessons. He's gone through a series of messages. In chapter 1, he's emphasized that we belong to God. We're his children. He's bought us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to God. We've received God's grace. And isn't that, at the risk of sounding too, isn't that amazing? I know there's a song. I know that but it is truly amazing that he deals with us through his grace. We have come from darkness to light, and he's joined us with the Messiah. We can call Jesus brother. It's amazing. And then after all of that, after reminding us that we belong to him, that we've received his grace, that we come from darkness to light, that we're joined with the Messiah, he says, therefore. Therefore were the first words that I read. Therefore. And in verses 4, 5, and 6, then, of this chapter, he offers us seven truths about us. So let's listen to what God himself says about his people. And if you're here this morning, and if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're part of God's people. So these truths are true about you and the brothers and sisters who sit around you. We are one body. And you can't separate a body. You know, we're very clever these days, and we're doing all sorts of things with science, but you can't really separate a body, can you? For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. That's true about you as a local church. That's true of the broader church. So you are one with Kersalem this morning. What time is it? They're having their coffee now, because they start earlier. Okay? But as you sit here listening to me, and they're in Caernarfon having their coffee and a chat, we're one body. We're part of the same body. One Spirit, there is one Holy Spirit living in us. When we give our lives to God, he comes to us. And he lives in us through his Holy Spirit. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So we are one body. We have one Spirit. We have one hope. The hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, this world can be a very depressing place. Let's be honest. It can't it? You know? And sometimes we can depress ourselves. We can look at ourselves and say, oh, I'm useless. I keep on making these same mistakes over and over again. But God gives us hope. And the hope that he gives us is that he tells each one of us, that he is at work in our lives. And sometimes the devil tries to persuade us that he isn't. But we need to hold on to this truth. The hope that he gives us is that he is at work in us, because we share one Lord. We share one Jesus. We're under the same authority. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. We share one faith. Sometimes we don't express that faith in the same way. But we share one faith, and it leads to the same faith in that same Lord. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Next point is easier to make in a Baptist church than anywhere else. We have one baptism. And what's the significance of baptism? It's the significance of standing there publicly. Where's your baptistry, by the way? Am I standing on top of it? No, right, okay. I wonder sometimes, you know, what happens in baptism? We stand there publicly and we declare that we were dead and now we're alive. And we stand as a church and we acknowledge that and welcome people into fellowship. Declaring publicly that although it may be a little different and there may be different flavors to it, we've all had that same experience of coming from death to life. That's wonderful. And it's something fantastic that joins us. And we have one God and Father. And isn't it wonderful that the Almighty God, the Creator, the Perfect One, the Holy One, who is so different to us, wants to be our Father. That is truly, truly amazing. So they're the truths in God's Word about us being one together, a family, a community, together. And we need to hold on to that. And one of the reasons we need to hold on to that is that there are many things that can separate us. Many, many things that can separate us. We come from different backgrounds. We have different experiences. You know, one of the things that I asked the church at Kirksalim when I was preaching this message there was, you know, have a look around. Have a look around you at the people who are sitting around you. Ask what you have in common with these people. No, go on, do it. Go on, have a look around. This is audience participation. You know, what do you have in common? There are a lot of differences here, aren't there? There are a lot of differences. And I've done that in Kirksalim, and we look around and say, good grief, what do we have in common? But of course we know. Although there are so many things that can separate us, the one thing we have in common is that God has called us and that we've responded to that call. So that's good. We can acknowledge that. But the reality is, of course, when we come to live as a community of God's people, we still have those differences, don't we? They don't go away. We still have those differences. Nobody's waved, by the way. First type. What's the typo? Hang on, where are we? It's one I didn't see. One of yous. It's supposed to be one of us. Okay, there we are. But here we are. Hey, I've learned something. Another typo. We all have different gifts and experiences. We've all come to faith in different church setups, maybe. Some of us have come to faith here. Some of us have come to faith in other countries, in other churches, in other denominations. And we've all had different experiences. And because those experiences are so precious to us, we think that that's the only way it can happen. But it's not. He works in a variety of different ways. We're different individuals. We have different characters. We're quiet, as it should say. Some of us are quiet, some of us are talkative. Some of us are shy, some of us are confident. Some of us are emotional, some of us are pragmatic. And as I say, because of the preciousness of the experiences we've had, we believe passionately on the basis of those experiences. But others may have had slightly different experiences. I say, we're a very mixed bag in Kirksalim. Some of us, people like myself, I come from a very, very traditional Welsh chapel background. It was funny because it struck me again while the worship team was leading us. The change that we've had in Kirksalim over the years, there's been more emphasis on worship, and it's always struck me that in my background, the hymns and stuff that we did before the sermon, it was almost like something to pass the time until the sermon arrived. You know? But that was what I was used to. And I came to faith even through that. Okay, we have other people in church who've had very, very exciting and thrilling experiences of the work of the Spirit in other churches. So we've got the traditional, and over on the other end, people who've had marvelous experiences of the work of the Spirit. And sometimes, ooh, that's strange. You know, I haven't heard of that before. I don't quite like that. And we need to remember that that truth about being one doesn't hide the fact that we have differences between us. And our capacity just to justify things that we feel strongly about is very strong. This is a bit of a Star Wars thing, isn't it? It's the Force is strong in you. You know, there's a bit of Yoda there, okay? But we need to remember that our capacity to justify things that we believe is very strong in each of us, and we need to acknowledge that. So there are things that are different about us, and we need to remember that we come to the church with all our strengths and weaknesses, and that is true about every person in this room. We all come to the church with our strengths and weaknesses. There are things that we're weak on. There are things that we have blind spots about. There are things that we're not in tune with. That's true about me. That's true about us. And it's also true about the people around you. So we need to realize that. We need to acknowledge that about ourselves and others. And let's be honest, wanting our own way is in our nature, isn't it? You know, if anybody can stand up and tell me that they never want their own way, I doubt their sincerity, I'll be honest. I know it's very, very true amongst me. And it was very, very true about the early church, you see. I mean, you read some of the stuff in the New Testament, you read about the Corinthian church, and you say, oh dear, I wouldn't want to be pastor over them. You know, listen to him. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? That's the reality of life. We all have to remember that we have different emphases, we have different backgrounds, we have so many things that can pull us apart. And because there are so many things that can pull us apart, the devil wants us to separate. The devil wants us to break up. The devil wants us to hold grudges, to remember little things that people have done that we didn't quite like. And so the Bible teaches us that part of learning as a Christian is learning to yield, learning to give way, learning to say, well, I believe this passionately, but they believe that passionately as well. So we need to find a way around that rather than me insisting that it's my way or the highway. We need to learn to yield. It's part of growth. If you look at the story of the early church, if you look at church history, it shows the capacity of God's people over the years to disagree and separate. Because there are things that are different about us. But because of that, we need to accept the Lord's help and guidance to deal with it. And what would that look like? If you go back to the reading, I'll just refer very briefly to verses 2 to 4. Listen to verses 2 to 4. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Listen to those words. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance. They're things that we need to seek. And where do we seek them? We seek them from him, because he has them in abundance. There is no shortage. Next typo. This is a very significant typo, by the way. You'll see on the next line it says, completely contrary to the word. It's supposed to say world. That changes the emphasis just a bit, doesn't it? Okay. We need to learn humility. And as I say, that is completely contrary to the world. But it is at the heart of Jesus' message. It is at the heart of Jesus' example. We love to read those words from Philippians 2, don't we? Let each of you look not only to his interests. That's interesting, isn't it? He acknowledges that we do look to our own interests. It's natural. He accepts that. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That humility that he showed. We've been looking at this in our Sunday, adult Sunday school class in Kersalem over the past few weeks. And what he did is incredible. It's incredible what Jesus did. He came down from heaven as an act of will and said, I am not going to claim what I deserve. I'm going to set aside what I deserve, and I'm going to go down and I'm going to live with these grubby little people. These people who make mistakes all the time. These people who ignore God all the time. I'm going to live with these people, and I'm going to preach to them, and I'm going to heal them, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to die for them. Imagine that. I'm going to die for them, he says. Such humility. And that's the example. He wants us to learn that humility. He wants us to be gentle. Gentle in the way we deal with God, and gentle in the way we deal with other people, with their weaknesses. It's about the way we respond. And we see all these things in the early church. Again, problems in the Corinthian church. Some say, we want to do this. Some say, we want to do that. It was about food that had been sacrificed in the temple and so on. Why not rather suffer wrong than insisting our own way? Why not rather be defrauded? Think of the weaker ones when you're making decisions. There's so much wisdom in God's word. We need to learn patience. Okay, hands up those of you who are naturally patient. I know I'm not. You ask my wife. You ask my boys. But patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the things that God wants to develop in us as he works in us through his Spirit. People frequently don't do what I want them to do. That's annoying, isn't it? People don't do what I want them to do. But the point about God's work is that it can develop in us over time. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. Forbearance, it's a bit of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? We tend not to use forbearance these days. It's a bit of a sort of old-fashioned sort of phrase. There are so many things that are instinctive to us. You know, somebody says something, we respond. Somebody does something that annoys us, we complain. That's what comes natural. But forbearance is about holding back from doing what is instinctive and natural. And all these things, you see, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the forbearance, do they seem out of your reach? They seem out of my reach sometimes. Why do they seem out of our reach? Because that's God's character. And on our own, they are beyond our reach. The things we can't do. And so only he can help us to develop it. And he can help us to develop those things as we bend before him. And we ask him for his help. And we ask him for his power through the Holy Spirit working in us to develop those things that we can't do on our own. This is the bit where I tell you what I just said. Okay? Just remember what Jesus prayed for his people, and he was praying for us. When he prayed this prayer, he was praying for Penrallt. When he prayed this prayer, he was praying for Kersalem. Not just his disciples. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And he does that so that the world may believe that you have sent me. He wants to see unity. He doesn't want to see uniformity. He doesn't want to see everybody the same. Some of you may know Dennis Young is a lovely member we have in Kersalem. He's 90-something now. Dennis said, God doesn't make postage stamps. You know, he wants us to be different. We are different. But let's hang on to these truths. First of all, the truth that we are one body. God has brought us together, and he's brought us together for a purpose. He's brought you together for a purpose here in Bangor. The reality is, As we look around, there's so much that can divide us. There are so many things that, well, I'd rather we did it this way, or I'd rather we did it that way, and I prefer this, and I prefer that. There are so many things that can divide us. But we are one body, and because of that, we need God's advice, guidance, and support to develop that humility, that gentleness, that patience and forbearance that will mark out God's people as something special. As a people that people will look at and say, hang on, there's something different about them. And that's so important. I think it's more important now than ever. We live in a world these days where if somebody doesn't agree with you, they just shout at you. We live in a world where we live in little bubbles. We have a little Facebook group that agrees with everything we say, and then suddenly we hear about somebody that says something different, and it's outrageous. And we need to show the world how to live in diversity. We need to show the world how to disagree with honor. We need to show the world how to come together in unity. Because the world clearly doesn't know, very, very clearly doesn't know how to do that. Think about what a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. What a sign that would be to a very, very divided world. Listen to the words from the Psalms. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And that's possible. Not because of who we are, often despite who we are, but because of what God wants to do in our lives. It is possible for us to be different. It is possible for us to be one. And for that to be a blessing for the whole community around us, for our neighbours, for our co-workers, for people we would like to invite to church, people who haven't heard yet about the good news of Jesus Christ. It is possible for his glory. Let's pray very briefly. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have so much wisdom. We thank you that you understand us and that you know absolutely everything about us. You know the good things about us and you know the bad things about us. You know what the blind spots are. You know what the weaknesses are. And we thank you, Lord, that you bring us together into one body so that we can learn from one another, so that we can learn to yield, so that we can learn to share, so that we can learn to serve you together. Lord, I pray now particularly for Penrallt, the church here, as the church faces a new chapter. I pray, Lord, that you will make your will clear, that you will show the way forward clearly, and that you will give wisdom and patience to all here over these next few months. Lord, we thank you for the way that this church has blessed the community around over the years. And we pray, Lord, we're confident that that is to continue. As you work through your people, as you work to reach out to the community, to share the good news about yourself and the hope and the joy and the purpose that you give. Lord, fill us all here today with your Holy Spirit and give us the power to walk worthy of the calling to which you have called us. We know as we pray that, Lord, that we are weak. We know as we pray that we will stumble and that we will make mistakes. But we thank you that you love us and you raise us up and you use us again. We pray all these things in the glorious name of the one who died for us on the cross and raised again to show clearly that he is victorious. We pray this in his name and for his glory. Amen.